Radio Prague News.
The Czech lower house has postponed a vote on church restitutions due to a government crisis over tax reforms. The Chamber of Deputies has approved a bill on slower pension growth. And Jiří Ježek has won the first Czech Paralympic gold medal to become the most successful Paralympic cyclist in history. The Chamber of Deputies of the Czech Parliament has postponed a vote on church restitutions due to a government crisis over planned tax reforms. The Lidem Party, a coalition member, said that it would only support the restitution bill if the controversial tax hike aimed at cutting the gap in public finances won parliamentary approval. Some Civic Democrats, though, have voiced serious reservations about the controversial amendment that would raise VAT and other taxes, meaning that the ruling coalition may prove unable to overturn the Senate's veto of the bill. Prime Minister Petr Nečas said on Tuesday that if the amendment is rejected, he was prepared to link the fate of the government to the bill in a repeat vote. The lower house has begun deliberating on the tax bill on Wednesday afternoon, but most likely it will be rejected, since the coalition has not been able to shore up enough support. The lower house on Wednesday passed a bill which will slow down pension growth in the next 3 years. The amendment is part of a broader government austerity package aimed at reducing the gap in public spending. According to the bill that was rejected earlier by the Senate, pensions will be adjusted yearly by a third of the increase in prices and real wages. The previous system had pensions adjusted by the full amount of price and wage increases. The opposition Social Democrats have adamantly opposed the bill, saying it would place 100,000 more pensioners below the poverty line. The ruling coalition argues that the move will save the Czech government 48 billion crowns over 3 years. The bill will now have to be signed by President Václav Klaus before coming into force. Czech Paralympic cyclist Jiří Ježek won the first gold medal for the Czech Republic at the London Paralympic Games on Wednesday. This is the 11th medal for Ježek, making him the most successful cyclist in Paralympic history. His team member Jiří Bouška picked up a bronze medal in the same competition. The Czech Paralympic team has now won 10 medals in London. The international rating agency Standard & Poor's gave the city of Olomouc higher marks for financial stability this year. The financial outlook for the Central Moravian city, according to the agency, went from stable last year to positive. The rating agency's analysts highlighted Olomouc's solid budget efficiency, cautious debt management, and overall prudent borrowing policies. The Olomouc budget had 2.36 billion crowns in earnings in the beginning of 2012 and expenses of 2.44 billion. The city plans to invest over 800 million crowns this year. Jaroslav Barták, a prominent physician who faces 7 criminal charges relating to sexual abuse, goes on trial in Prague on Wednesday. Barták, who owns a private health clinic in Prague, was arrested and taken into custody earlier this year after one of his assistants accused him of sexual assault and battery. Her testimony sparked similar confessions from 6 other former assistants, resulting in charges of rape, sexual harassment, blackmail, and damage to health. The physician is also suspected of using drugs to make his victims more compliant. If convicted, he will face a sentence of up to 12 years in prison. And for the weather, coming days will be sunny with possible light showers, with day temperatures around 19 to 21 degrees Celsius. I'm Masha Walensky, and that's all for the news.
Hello, you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Maggie Lund, coming up in our programme today. Rows over tax legislation within the Civic Democrat Party threaten to destabilise the coalition government. The Centre for the Galileo Global Navigation System opens this week in Prague, and later we bring you your weekly edition of Marketplace, today with the Church's viewpoint on the ongoing restitution bill. That's all still to come, plus more, so stay tuned. A growing conflict within the senior coalition's Civic Democrat Party threatens to topple the government of Prime Minister Petr Nečas. some Civic Democrat MPs have refused to back government legislation raising VAT rates, a bill the Prime Minister said was crucial for the future existence of the government. If the bill does indeed get rejected by the Kosher House, Mr. Neches has threatened to send the same legislation to Parliament again, this time linked to a vote of confidence in his government. Jan Richter reports.
Latent tensions in the Civic Democrat Party erupted just hours before the lower house is set to vote on government legislation which sought to reduce the deficit in public finances by, among other things, raising the value-added tax. Critics of the deal, which include President Václav Klaus, say higher taxes would only deepen the recession of the Czech economy, which is what has happened since the beginning of the year when the Neches government raised the VAT for the first time. When deputies first voted on the bill in July, it was backed by 95 out of 100 coalition MPs in the lower house. But the opposition-controlled Senate vetoed the legislation and the coalition now needs 101 votes to overturn the veto and pass the bill. But on Tuesday, a day before the crucial vote in the lower house, six Civic Democrat MPs said they would not vote for it again, as the plan to raise taxes ran against the values of their party. The Prime Minister then raised the stakes. Should the GET bill rejected, Mr. Neches said, he would send the same piece of legislation back to the lower house, this time linking it to a vote of confidence. The argument has so far failed to persuade the rebelling Civic Democrat MPs, as one of them, Petr Tluchoš, said on Wednesday.
Our viewpoints have remained unchanged since yesterday, and we will not vote for the legislation. The Prime Minister told us the government would pass the exact same bill tonight and will send it to the lower house, where it will be linked to a vote of confidence. There will be further debates about the legislation, however, and we will try to change it so that it reflects the interests of the country and the Civic Democrat program.
Tak aby alespoň z části reflektoval ekonomické zájmy České republiky a volební program ODS.
The other two coalition parties have shown little sympathy for the row within the Civic Democrat Party. The architect of the legislation, finance minister, and the leader of the Topo 9 group, Miroslav Kalousek, said there was no room for renegotiating the deal. For their part, the junior coalition Lidem party refused to back another crucial government bill, that on the restitution of church property, until the row is settled. I asked Deputy Prime Minister and Lidem leader Karolina Pík whether she thought a compromise could be found.
I have only been in politics for 2 years, but even during those 2 years I've already been in many situations that seemed like they have no solution and nobody is willing to compromise. But if there is a will to continue with this government, not to turn over the government to Communist Party and Social Democrats, then there should be also a will to find a compromise in this situation.
In other words, are you confident that indeed there will be a will to save the government?
I very much hope so, that the internal games within ODS will not triumph over the will to maintain stability of the country.
Some commentators know that the row within the Civic Democrats is related to an upcoming congress of the party, which will, in some 3 months' time, elect a new Civic Democrat leadership. But political analyst Jiří Pehe says the Prime Minister's move might in fact bring about the end of his government.
In my opinion, the Prime Minister really risks the fall of his government, and I think that he may be underestimating also the influence of President Václav Klaus, who has been critical of this law, and in fact his criticism too, just like in cases of some of the deputies, seems to have deeper roots. It's his overall dissatisfaction with the Neches government. So I think that the Prime Minister is playing into the hands of those who want to see his government go, and I'm afraid that if he connects the law with the vote of confidence, the government will indeed fall.
The lower house of parliament is set to vote on the tax legislation later on Wednesday. It will then be clear whether Mr. Neches' strategy worked or whether he will put his government's future on the line.
That was Jan Richter reporting, and if you'd like to get in touch and let us know what you think of that story, you can do so by writing to english@radio.cz. This week we'll see the official launch of the Central Satellite Navigation Centre for the Galileo Global Navigation System in Prague. Originally, 11 countries vied for a chance to host the site, which will oversee the launch of the European answer to America's GPS system. A day ahead of the opening ceremony in Prague's Holešovice district, Jan Wellinger spoke to the Czech commissioner for the project, Karol Dobeš, who described how far the project had come.
It was a long way. It took more than 6 years We started 2006 and now we have success. It is not only prestige or image of Czech Republic. It was 11 countries. They wanted also get GSA. I think it's very important for the Czech economy and Czech industry. It's something like motivation, I would like to say. Then we have now some big companies from Europe in Czech Republic, for example, Thales Alenia Space and also OHB has some dependency in Czech Republic. We also have some companies that now directly deliver parts for Galileo, for example, Frentech Brno. And we also have some companies that are actively working on applications for Galileo, for example, company Princip or other. For us, it's very important as member of European Space Agency ESA, also make some good cooperation between the European Space Agency and GSA.
Now, out of the 45 employees at the center due to open, how many are Czech nationals and how do you assess their involvement?
For Czech Republic, we have 10 people. We have people, for example, on the information level, they are working on GSA. We have also people in the Secretary of General Director. And I think it's very good result of Czech education, of Czech knowledge, that we have 10 people in GSA.
The Galileo Global Satellite Navigation System is meant to be up and running by 2014. What are the main areas or fields of specialization that it will serve?
80% of application will be in the transport sector. And it's very important also for intelligent traffic systems. And we, in Czech Republic, we have association for intelligent transport system. And there are a lot of companies that are using the data of satellite navigation. We also need the data from GMES, its global monitoring system for the maps and for the digital models. And I think it's very, very interesting from the long-term economic view for the Czech industry.
Now, in the autumn, the government is due to decide on subsidies or further funds for the European Space Agency, potentially boosting funds from 200 million crowns to 500 million. Do you think that the success of Galileo in Prague might influence that decision?
I think it's for the Czech economy, in long-term thinking, it's very important to get the new technology, new impulses. And I think the Czech government supported the GSA and will be also support the ESA program.
That was Karel Dobeš ending that report by Jan Wellinger. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Coming up next in Marketplace, Jan Richter talks to Tomáš Halub about the effect of the passing of the Church Constitution Bill would have on the Catholic Church in the Czech Republic.
Given the recent developments on the Czech political scene, the country's churches and religious groups might have to wait longer for the return of their property confiscated by the communist regime. Under the deal as proposed by the Czech government, the Roman Catholic Church and some smaller groups would receive around 134 billion crowns in physical property and financial compensation to be paid over the next 30 years. After that, the churches would be completely separated from the state, which would no longer contribute to their budgets. Monsignor Tomáš Halub is the Secretary General of the Czech Bishops' Conference, a body representing the Catholic Church in the country. I met up with him and asked him how the massive restitution deal might change the Czech Catholic Church.
I'm not sure that it's a massive, really, because we are speaking of only a small part of the properties we had before the communist regime. And why it is important for us, and I don't speak out only about the Catholic Church, but all the churches and also Federation of the Jewish Communities in the Czech Republic, is that we need to have some independent basic that can help us serve in the democratic society as is for the democratic society normal. It means independent from the influence of the state.
Well, you've been serving under the influence of the state for the last 20 years, of course, after the fall of communism. So what will change? How will it be different after and if, of course, the property restitution deal is approved?
a lot will be changed, because now it is so that we are paid all employees we have in the churches from the state. It means we are totally dependent on the decisions made on the level of government. We can't do our own politic, what means we can't do things in our pastoral work, in the social work that is decided on the level of church. That will be completely changed, and it's important that we have be independent part of the liberal society with our influence on the values in the society.
Coming to the actual terms of the deal, the Roman Catholic Church in the Czech Republic is set to receive around 75 billion crowns worth of property, along with over 47 billion crowns in financial compensation that will be paid over the period of 30 years. How is the church getting ready to manage such property?
They prepared for such decision for 20 years. State gave us this very long time for preparation, unfortunately. And therefore, I can say that we are prepared to manage it in the way that church used to do it in the past. It means that it's not centralized. It's for us very important that these properties will be divided to concrete parishes, to concrete dioceses, to concrete orders, to concrete congregations. It means that the managing of the properties will be done from the place where the properties really are. This is for us very important, this subsidiarity division of the properties. And we need also some control mechanism, and it is approved on the level of parishes, on the level of dioceses, also on the level of whole Catholic Church in the Czech Republic, that there will be two steps control that will be needed for every decision made with the properties.
That refers to, for instance, sales, because some of the critics of the deal express concerns that the Catholic Church will sell everything and take the money to the Vatican. So that will be subjected to some kind of control.
Of course, it's linked with sales, but not only with sales, with all what will be done in the managing of the properties. And this selling the things to Vatican is completely fullness to understand it so, because it's a property of the concrete juristic person that is here. It's not property of the Catholic Church as such.
Will these parishes, these individual units of the Catholic Church, the parishes, the dioceses, the religious orders, will they have the money as well as the people needed to manage forestry firms, agriculture farms, maintain buildings that will be returned? Or will you somehow, will the central governing body of the church somehow help?
Of course, we will have some centralized advising bodies that will help the concrete juridic persons to do something. But as I mentioned already, we had 20 years to prepare for it. So I am sure that we have on all levels people that are ready now to do it, because they understand some sense of the economic activity of the church as a way how to be independent and really to bring to society the values we are convinced that we have to bring, and to serve in the social dimension as we are convinced that we have to do it.
Won't parish priests, won't they become more managers rather than pastoral workers? You're talking about, you know, the role they should have in the society and convey the values of the Roman Catholic Church onto the society. But with this vast property, will they be able to focus on the pastoral work when at the same time they will have to be, first of all, deal with the legal issues, second, you know, with managing the actual property after it's returned?
First, it's important to say that we are not in the situation in which the pastor or the parish priest would be as such only himself responsible for such things. After the Second Vatican Council, we have big responsibility shifted to lay people in the parishes. So some economical council of the parish is now is responsible for many things. And we try to explain again to the society that it's not the decision of one person in the parish, but it's a decision of the people that are elected in the parish to be responsible for it. And the second, what I would like to mention is that on the level of dioceses, already now are created such advising teams that will help with some legal and economic things that will be similar to all parishes. So we plan to have some, in some way, uniform way how to deal with properties to serve to the parishes in this process.
Some of the critics of the deal expressed concerns that the local parishes that will receive the property and perhaps the compensation as well will be targeted by all kinds of firms and individuals who will want to lay their hands on the property and on the money. Is that a concern for you as well? And if so, how will you try to prevent that?
As I mentioned, it's a link with this true levels of control. Now, is it so that also legally is not possible that any movement of properties is signed only on the level of parish? It will be, according to Czech legal system, illegal. It means that this control is done also on the level of diocese, and we now we count with 8 dioceses. So we are convinced that on this level we have already enough professional bodies that can control and will protect these parishes from this interest that would be not pure.
Many Czechs have seen, for instance, when they go to Austria, they see churches running breweries, you know, being very active in the micro business in the very place. Can we expect something like this, that the church and its activities will also change the local environment business-wise?
Yeah, that's for us important that we will be involved in this micro economy. And this is exactly linked with this idea that the property is held and also managed from the place where these properties are. Therefore, also we are against the fund that there are more other reasons, but one of them was that we can't be identified with some fund that is then managed from Prague in all area of the Czech Republic, where this micro economy wouldn't be then accepted as something important.
How do you think the whole deal will change the Catholic Church mentally or perhaps spiritually? Do you think the Catholic Church will be different after this?
I am convinced it will change a lot. First of all, I think it will change the sense of responsibility in the church, because the activities on the spiritual level will be more rooted in the reality of the material world we live in. This, I think, is important, that not is divided this spiritual and material reality, because if we proclaim the gospel, it's gospel for the whole world, not only for some spiritual dimension. And the second, I think that what I mentioned also in the first part of our discussion, we will be able to focus on topics that are for us important, and it wasn't possible in today's structure of the church. So I think that we will be able to be more update to the needs of the Czech society.
What would you say to, again, the critics of the deal, this time from within your church, who came up recently with a statement or even a petition, and who say that the church should not really get money, that maybe, you know, the deal should be, or the past wrongs should be fixed by some kind of public fund, and that the church should not be rich?
The signature of this petition wasn't from the Catholic Church. It wasn't any Catholic priests. What is in this discussion with these groups that we try to discuss with them important is to explain that you have some responsibility for the people. You have to secure also their ability to live with their families and to have the money for the normal life. And it doesn't mean that we are rich, but we are stable. And this is a big difference between to be rich and to be stable. We hope that this way will go to some stability that is important to give to the people some future for their activities. And this, we hope, that we can receive.
And finally, Monsignor Holo, what will you do if the bill gets rejected? On Monday, the Constitutional Court said the parishes and the individual bodies of the church can pursue their restitution demand directly at court. Will this the way that you will go?
I said it already many times after yesterday's decision of the Constitutional Court. We are not interested to receive the properties via some court decisions. We try to negotiate with the state because it can have some basic understanding among the Catholic Church and other churches and the population. So we are ready to discuss. Of course, if there isn't any open space for discussing in some short future, there is also other possibility, as we heard yesterday.
Tomáš Holub was talking there to Jan Richter. And that was the final part of Radio Prague's English show for today. But you can still catch all our programmes again online at radio.cz. And you can always get in touch with the show to tell us what you think or with any questions you might have by writing to english@radio.cz or by post to Vinohradská 12, postal code 12099, Prague 2. But that's all for now. So from me, Maggie Lund, and all the rest of us at Radio Prague, thank you for joining us and goodbye.